On Midwest Week, vindication for the mayor of Muscatine and her fight with the city council. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Sarah Ritter, reporter for the Muscatine Journal. First of all, Sarah, remind us, what were the results of last week's election for mayor in Muscatine?
Yeah, so Mayor Diana Broderson won re-election. She won by 59% of the votes. It was record voter turnout. Kind of the votes for one person is typically all the votes there would be, but she won about 1,000 more votes than her opponent, Charlie Harper.
Was the election all about Diana Broderson, or were there any other issues that came into this?
In large part, yeah, it is about Mayor Diana Broderson and the city council ousting her, voting her out of office. And like you said, it's kind of been vindicating. She, you know, it was ruled that her lawsuit, that her removal was a violation of due process. So, you know, her supporters felt vindicated there. And then they really came out with this record turnout to kind of show that they wanted their mayor to serve another term and hopefully have some of the powers that were taken away in her first term.
Did anyone predict this sort of victory, or was it a complete surprise in any way?
I kind of predicted it just, you know, in talking to people online and in person. And there's a Muscatine chat group on Facebook that is always very active, and someone did a poll, and everyone who won in each race ended up being the people chose online. So it was kind of interesting that social media kind of mirrored the actual results of the voter turnout. I don't think that always happens. So I think people kind of did expect these results. They were, you know, obviously the majority of people were hoping for it because they voted for her.
Now, she also seemed to win in a way in a couple of races for city council. How did she do there, and which races were they?
Three city council seats were up for election, and all three incumbents were voted out. One did not run again because he is in poor health, but two were unseated. The at-large, that was the closest race. The incumbent won about 1,000 votes, and the winner won a little over 1,000. So that was a very close race. But pretty much everyone who won did say that they were kind of in favor of the mayor, or at least in favor of her kind of being able to serve in some capacity, which she has not been able to do. So at least two of them have been very vocal about being supportive of the mayor. So it's kind of, people are hoping for sweeping change. The newcomers are still outnumbered by four people who are not up for election until another 2 years. So we'll see kind of how the dynamic shifts.
And how about Mayor Broderson's opponent, Mr. Harper? Was he picked by her opponents on the council, or was he just a resident of Muscatine who decided he wanted to run for mayor?
Yeah, that's a good question. Charlie Harper, he's a longtime business owner in Muscatine. You know, he's really well known in the community. He had a lot of support, but it's kind of known. I don't know if I have confirmation of this to say, but it's kind of known that, you know, the council kind of placed him. They wanted him to run. They supported him. On election night, he had a party, and everyone in the city was there, and that kind of made it obvious. And, you know, he gave me a quote, which was, you know, I was, you know, just happy to be chosen to run, which kind of gives you the idea that, yeah, he was kind of placed by the council members and kind of in the same line of thinking that they have.
Okay. Now, the city election in Muscatine came shortly after the judge's ruling in the mayor's favor. What was that case about, and how did the judge rule?
Yeah, so it was about her impeachment, which happened in May, and she was reinstated about a month later. And if just from that court hearing where she was reinstated, you could kind of figure out how the court case was going to go. And it was really just about the process of how the council removed her from office. And the judge finally decided that it was a violation of her due process because they held the removal proceedings at the council chambers. They oversaw the proceedings. He basically decided that they were acting as investigator, prosecutor, judge, and jury, and that she did not have a fair trial. And so he vacated the removal hearing. It's basically like it didn't happen. All the, you know, thousands of dollars that had been spent on the litigation kind of seem pointless now to residents. So, yeah, again, another, you know, vindicating moment for her where the council could appeal. It looks like they're not going to appeal because this much time has passed, but it's still an option. So.
Okay. And something else that came out of all of this, Sarah, is the city manager has filed a lawsuit against the mayor. What's that all about?
Yeah, right after she won her case against the city council. The city administrator, Greg Mansegger, he came out and basically he issued a statement saying that he intends to file a defamation lawsuit against the mayor for things that she has said over her term and during the removal process that he claims damage his reputation and make it hard for him to find future employment and that sort of thing. And it wasn't until last Friday that he actually did officially file the suit. So she was reelected Tuesday. Friday, he filed the suit for defamation.
And did you ever hear him say anything that would be possibly defaming, or where did all this come from? Do we know?
The only thing that that I have, you know, personally experienced that is in the lawsuit that he claims is, you know, something, a moment where she defamed him, was upon their first meeting. Diana Broderson has told me that, you know, within her first week of office, the city administrator came in and said, I run this town, not you. You know, I'm in charge of the community. You're just kind of there to cut ribbons and that sort of thing. The city administrator claims that never happened. The mayor's told me that multiple times that did happen. It's one of those he said, she said things that I cannot prove. But that's kind of an example of kind of the defamation that he's claiming or the slander that she's done over this time.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, after the election and the court ruling and everything, is everybody going to kiss and make up in Muscatine, or are these battles somehow going to go on in some other way?
Well, things are very heated right now. Right after the city administrator filed a lawsuit, he had his yearly performance evaluation where they typically give him a merit raise. About a dozen of Broderson's supporters showed up. They ended up giving him a 2% raise right after he filed the lawsuit, which also includes the city of Muscatine in it. And so they were very unhappy. People are very unhappy on social media right now. Hopefully, you know, as time goes on, as we kind of get to January where the new people get actually in office at city council, hopefully things will kind of calm down. But right now it's still pretty tense after the election.
Oh, I see. So the old city council is still in office until January then?
Exactly, yep.
It seems to you that city residents were pretty involved in all of this? I mean, social media and on the street?
Yeah, they've really kind of driven the argument, and it's a lot of Broderson supporters who are being the most vocal. You see kind of the same names that are defending the city on social media, but yeah, it's really Broderson's supporters that have driven this. They've kind of caused, you know, 11 people to run for the 4 seats, you know, is all kind of related to this controversy. And, you know, it also resulted in the record voter turnout where it was a little over 2,400 people voted in the city election in a town of, you know, 23,000. So not great still, but higher than the typical like 1,500 people that typically come out and vote. The previous record was in the late 90s. It was 2,100 people voted. And so this was a historic all-time record.